the net, what's what I'm looking for, the effects of the impacts, what the impacts are. So I haven't read unfortunately, I have not read the draft EIR before I got here. I have a family. I've got a full-time job. I don't have time to read 800 pages of an EIR. But generally, can you tell me what you guys used as your parameters for establishing EIR? 8,000 homes? 15,000 homes? 16 streets? 4 stoplights? What generally were your parameters for establishing the EIR and the impacts?
Within the project description section, which I believe is section 2 of the draft EIR, there's a table that shows the assumed land uses to be built out. And let me make sure that that's clear, that those were assumed for the purposes of environmental impact analysis and is not actually proposed by the project. The table in there gives the acreage of residential, the acreage of commercial, and so forth that were assumed, but there was not particular number of houses or intersection here, intersection there. That was the framework for what was possible.
And who submitted that information to you for that information? To base
that
information.
Was,
I'll take that one. So,
sure.
Yeah, it was definitely kind of a complicated process. So my name's Gerald Musensky.
I'm Steve. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. It was a process in which the City of Elk Grove submitted an application. As part of that application, that's actually the discretionary action which LAFCO has to make a judgment on. So that application included information which was utilized along with LAFCO staff, along with our consulting team, and along with city staff to develop the assumptions that went into the table which Chris is talking about. I'll give you that table. And
okay.
It was based on, I can tell you because we were involved in it, it was based on everything from looking at historic building trends over the last decade to looking at, you know, approved entitlements, to looking at planned land use entitlements. There was a number of factors that went into it. Everything from how the City of Elk Grove is planning to build out its infrastructure. Where are they planning to put major infrastructure lines? Where are they planning to put major roads? All that was taken into account to come up with what a reasonable assumption range would be for this analysis. And let me be clear that this is definitely not your normal EIR, right? So this is not your normal EIR that looks at a particular development project that says, this development project is going to build 50 homes, right? And because you're building 50 homes, you have to widen this street, or you have to expand this wastewater treatment plant. That's not the case here. This is a programmatic analysis. So where the development project itself would look at a project level, kind of down in the weeds of we're disturbing this particular habitat at this level and these particular wetlands, this is a programmatic document, kind of a 30,000-foot elevation trying to provide LAFCO with a ideas the potential environmental effects that could result as this policy and redrawing of the boundary. Does that help you a little bit?
I'm not sure that answered my question as to who provided you the information.
It was developed. It wasn't just provided.
It was developed by, okay, explain to me, developed by whom? By what?
The people in this room as well as city staff of the City of Elk Grove.
There was a discussion of what is reasonable to assume for the purpose of analysis. You could go way out,
so
when it's going to be a parking lot, or you could say, you know, oh, there's going
to
be a couple.
So you talk to city staff, Elk Grove city staff.
Correct.
Okay, well, that's a problem. Okay.
Okay, we've got three in a row here. Let's start close and work our way out.
Isn't it the case that you took existing land uses in Elk Grove and assumed the pattern would be repeated in the SLR? For purposes of the EIR?
Yeah.
It's not exactly the pattern, but the ratios of the type of land uses. So those ratios under the general plan were then said, well, if we apply those ratios up here, what would that
be? The assumption is it will look like what Elk Grove looks like today. Only more so.
Right.
Only in that area.
Close to 2,400 acres of low-density residential is in the traffic circulation portion, and I'm assuming that's probably what single land was.
Yeah,
right.
So
that's just that you just picked that up, but that's a significant portion, yeah. You know, and even and especially if you look at the SACOG preferred, that hatch, red hatch area that we saw, that's a lot of that. That's 75% of that land will be low density. That's 4.17 dwelling units per acre.
So it looks like it's
suburban sprawl. Yeah.
Well, the
job
stuff.
Well, that's
yeah. And then I want to be clear, is that not actually proposed? That's what we assume in order to determine the level of
impact. Okay, I like to, I don't want to, the debating, we're not doing the debating tonight.
Okay.
If you have environmental questions and concerns, and you would like to write them down, it would be very helpful because you are very articulate and are very complex questions. And we will funnel those questions to our consultant to respond to. If you have other questions regarding the project, A, B, or C, or D, that's not necessarily environmental, then you can direct those questions to us, and then we'll respond to those either in writing or through the staff report. And we'll address those through this process.
Okay.
These are good questions. If you'd like to articulate them specifically to us, we'd be great and try to answer them.
I believe we have three questions, and I just want to say briefly that those land use assumptions that are in that table were carried through the document. So transportation impacts, air quality impacts, the greenhouse gas emissions analysis looked at that particular scenario. So on the questions, I'm going to go.
Okay, I'll be real quick.
Okay.
You can provide it. The EIR suggests various mitigation measures for development that would eventually occur, and that would require that before there's annexation that the city adopt these mitigation measures. Mm-hmm. However, as you know, once the city, the land is annexed, left with jurisdiction over that land, since it's now the city, absolutely ceases. What can LAPCO do to actually enforce those measures if the city decides, okay, well, now we're in the city, LAPCO can't touch us, so we're going to change, reduce these mitigation measures?
That's
a good question. We can respond to that. That's a good question.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. Hope everyone's having a good time so far. I'm just going to jump in.
Who are you?
I'm sorry.
Who are you?
Oh, John introduced me earlier, but my name is Matthew McComber.
Thank you.
And I serve as legal counsel for the LAPCO Commission with our law firms, Miller and Owen. This is a great example of if you have, for example, with your question that you're raising, if you see suggestions on how you would propose that LAPCO provide certain input or authority or whatever your ideas are, that's exactly what we're looking for, as opposed to asking for what the state of what it will be in some unknown future. If I understood your question correctly.
Well, we know that the city of Elk Grove, and if the development opportunities come, the city needs to go ahead with the due annexation and due development. That's pretty obvious to everyone in Elk Grove. That's the whole purpose of the SLI. And my question is, I know this mid-year, they've got to adopt certain mitigation requirements for development. And
what happens if they don't?
Or
what happens if once they're annexed, they decide to change it?
The city itself does not adopt those mitigation measures. Those are adopted as part of the process and approval of that. And as part of CEQA, there are enforcement mechanisms that will be used. Those are written into mitigation measures.
Just real quickly, some folks have more experience than others in this regard. We've done projects with the city of Sacramento, sphere of influence event called Green Bar. We've done projects with the city of Folsom, as mentioned earlier. Terms and conditions, the commission has the power to approve, modify, or deny. It also has the power to impose terms and conditions. They stay with the approval and are revisited and carried forward at the time of the annexation. So another example that would be tree mitigation was for the Green Bar project north of the city of Sacramento. The two COVID agencies, city of Sacramento, LAPCO, we both have to sign off that the mitigation measures will be met. Water availability, city of Folsom. An agreement of the sphere of influence. They had provided proof in order to go forward. So those are some examples. But I think if you have issues with the back of the project, we want to hear from you, we want to hear tonight. We have 10 minutes left. I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. Oh, and I just want to say that in addition to your questions, concerns, and so forth, recommendations for modification of language and so forth, they're all welcome. So we have two more that I know of.
Just for clarification purposes, is it a fair statement to say the following? The draft EIR looked at the past practices of the city of Elk Grove and how it projected future development of how the city might develop based on past practices.
That's not a component of seek analysis.
I'll just, real quickly, we don't want to try to answer everyone's questions. I will answer your question in formal writing, but the reality is to be honest, no, because if you look at historic practices, especially with the economic times, that we actually went through this whole exercise with Lafayette staff and the city to look at the assumptions that went into the land use scenario. If we would have just took the past practices that happened over the last 5 or 6 years, they would have been drastically higher than what would have been projected moving forward because of the economic driver. So it's not 100% confirmed with exactly what would happen or what has happened in the city of Bell Grove. So we'll definitely provide all your responses, all your questions.
Yeah. Okay.
Jim Gillum, I represent landowners in the sphere of influence. They're here with me tonight, comprising about 800 and 318, so about 1,100 acres. And we appreciate LAFCO's work on this environmental document and recognize that it is a programmatic EIR. You don't have specific land uses that will come forward with annexation requests if that moves forward. But there's been a lot of discussion in past meetings and tonight about this vacant land, its inventory, and need for the project. And in the LAFCO documentation that's coming forward, you mentioned that you will be looking at that that project inventory availability. And I just know that it's about 23% of what the full sphere of influence as amended would be, this new area. And it's not even on par with what the recent annexations and incorporations have been. Folsom had all of the parkway development to build out, the entire ranch development to build out, as well as significant portions of Broadstone, and they made their annexation application, their sphere amendment annexation. And the city of Rancho Cordova had over 50% of its land area vacant when it was incorporated. So we're not talking about something that's dissimilar from other jurisdictions. And I would just encourage that when you look at that vacant land, you don't just look at it centered to Elk Grove, but you look at it centered to the region and how the practices of spheres and incorporated areas have been, because it's been taken out of context to make it sound as though this area is 100 years worth of inventory, and I think that we'll find, upon comparison to other jurisdictions, that it's a very reasonable area. So that's it. We are very much supportive of moving forward. I have reviewed the environmental impact report and the mitigation measures. And while I still have some questions, we'd like to make some comments, we hope that LAFCO will move this project forward.
Has there been any discussion between LAFCO and the connector JPA, and specifically regarding traffic circulation? There's a lot of road widening that's going to happen on Camera Road, Grantline Road, and so on. And if we had to go to 6 lanes with those streets, is the money going to be there? Well, you're not talking finances, but the money is not going to be there for a lot of this expansion of or construction of the JPA. So if you're assuming that the MTP 2035 roadway project is going to conclude widening Camera Road by 6 lanes, or about 2 6 lanes, and Grantline by 6 lanes, this isn't even, this is fantasy stuff. This is Disney. I mean, this isn't even for real. And I think, you know, in the, I'd like to, I'll be looking in the executive officer's report, also the municipal services review, whether or not there's some kind of realistic goal setting here. You know, that you have the money from the feds or the state, or, you know, or that we're even allowed to have the money because we're in a non-attainment situation. You know, so we're not getting the federal Department of Transportation money. So that's an executive decision. You're talking about this being a programmatic 30,000-foot, overview. You know, it's not realistic. You're not going to have the money to do that.
We have additional questions, comments about the environmental impact report or impact analysis areas, topics.
clarify, to be clear, then, the questions that have been posed that with respect to the EIR issues brought up, they will be responded to even though they're in oral form?
Correct.
Or do they have to be in written form?
It would, to answer your question, yes, they will be responded to. They will be summarized based on the notes I'm taking right here, and they will be responded to, each individual comment that is addressing the actual environmental analysis.
And they'll be online then?
They will be part of the final EIR, which will be provided online.
Okay, and
if you have any additional questions after we break the meeting, we'll... And I'll be available if you have any things you'd like to discuss.
And if you're not already